Amen. Well, hello, Northside. My name is Jacob. I'm on the teaching team. Wow, man. It's Easter. This is just crazy. Like, can you believe it? Can you believe that we're here right now, that we're doing? It's just crazy. And let me just get something off the top really quick, because it was obvious in our video we showed. We didn't shout out Clarksville, all right? Like, we didn't shout out Floyd's Knobs. We didn't shout out Kentucky. But selfishly, where are my Georgetown people at? Any Georgetown? Yeah. That's a Georgetown noise, all right? Like, you heard that. You're like, that's Georgetown. Only good things come out of Georgetown, by the way. I love Easter. Love Easter. Everything just feels a little bit different on Easter. It feels like the sun shines a little brighter on Easter. It feels like when you look at the grass, the blades just look a little bit greener on Easter. I'd love to celebrate Easter. In fact, yesterday I did something, a big step for me in celebrating Easter. I took down my Christmas lights, which was, I'm that neighbor, Georgetown, right? Like, I'm that neighbor in our neighborhood. I live in New Albany now, people can tell. But like, I just love Easter because it's different. It feels different. It hits different. And you've experienced this in your life before. I guarantee you have. I remember growing up, Easter morning was different. When I was a kid, I had to deal with my parents that on Easter morning, for every hard-boiled egg that I ate, they would let me eat 10 mini Reese's eggs. Easter's different. And there was many a morning on Easter where I would choke down 2 hard-boiled eggs and then just vacuum clean 20 Reese's eggs back to back to back. And for my stomach, Easter was different. You've seen this before. When you see, do egg hunts. And maybe you remember hunting eggs as a kid. Maybe you are a kid and you want to go hunt eggs. That doesn't happen other days of the year. You don't go out, maybe you live on a farm and you're like, yes, it does. But for most of us in this room, you don't go out every morning. It's not November 16th. You're just like, all right, here we go. Gotta go find those eggs. You don't do that. But on Easter, it's different. Maybe you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a brother, sister, or just an awesome friend. And you never thought that watching someone else hunt for eggs could bring you joy. You're like, I've seen it at the grocery store. It's not that great. But for some reason, on Easter, when you're watching someone that you love hunt for an egg, it's different. Maybe you don't come to church all that often, but it's Easter, and you're like, I have to come this weekend. It's because Easter is different. Maybe you're here, and you're not sitting in your seat that you love so much because there's so many people here, and you're all mixed up. You're looking at me from a different angle, and you're like, this isn't right. Easter is different. There's something about Easter. I mean, even this weekend across America, it is going to be the number one most church-attended weekend this year because Easter is different. And hear me, there's no disrespect when it comes to Christmas. We love baby Jesus. There's no disrespect when it comes to Thanksgiving or 4th of July. A little disrespect when it comes to Arbor Day. Feels not real. But Easter, church, it takes the cake. It is better. It is the top. And here's why. Because what happened on Easter, what we celebrate at Easter, is the most important event that ever happened on earth. And don't just take my word for it. The Bible says it too. And if you're going to be reading the Bible with us, I would encourage you to, even if it's your first time here, we love to read the Bible together. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15 the whole time. So you can head there right now. We're going to start in verse 3. When the Bible tells us what is important in life, and it says this, I passed on to you what was, and those two words, most important. I passed on to you what was most important, and but it had also been passed on to me. Now here's the deal. I love the Bible. I love coming to church. There's a reason we meet every weekend and we do things throughout the week is because we can never fully soak in all the important things in the Bible. There's so many lessons. There's so many nuances. There's so many things that we could learn. So when the Bible says that something is the most important, we should probably listen. And here it is. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. That is what is most important. It is why Easter is different. This story, this meaning that Jesus died on Friday on the cross, but then didn't stay dead and came back to life, is the most important news. It is outrageous. It is big. It is incredible. It is awesome. It is wild. It is the best. And it's different. And honestly, because of this, everything is different. Easter is different, and it makes everything different. And if you don't believe me, just look at the world. I don't even know. I didn't know a lot of this stuff, but I did some research just to see how Easter changed the world, and it was shocking. Did you know that we now keep time? History has been altered forever. How we keep history? Because of Easter, because of Jesus. Like, you've heard these letters before, BC and AD. That's before Christ, and then that AD right there is Anno Domini. And the reason that we have years, the reason that it's the year 2024 right now is because of Jesus. Before Jesus, it was just whoever the king was, you kept time by saying, okay, it was the seventh month of this king's reign. It was the third year of this king's reign. But when the King of Kings came down, that didn't matter anymore. History is oriented to Jesus. Geography changed because of Jesus. There's different cities across the world now that have been named, that have been formed because of Jesus. One of my favorite places in the entire world, Charlestown. I'm just joking. San Diego, California, is named after a saint who committed his life to Jesus. You look at these places like St. Paul, St. Augustine, San Antonio, San Francisco, all named after saints who committed their lives to Jesus. He changed geography. Easter changed geography. You look at our modern view of hospitals are different because of Jesus. In the fourth century, there was a decree that said, wherever there is a church, there should also be a hospice. And that has shaped the way that we now view hospitals. Orphanages are different. The reason we have an orphanage is because of the starkly different teaching of Jesus. In the Greco-Roman world, if you didn't want a baby, you just left it out to die of exposure. And oftentimes, it was just little girls because you wanted a boy. And because of the way Jesus looked at children, Christians said, we're not going to let that fly. And orphanages existed because of Jesus. Even culture shifted because of Easter. These paintings, these artists that we revere now, Da Vinci's Last Supper, Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel, Rembrandt's The Prodigal Son, some of the best music ever composed by Beethoven, Bach, and Mozart is all inspired by Jesus. In fact, in 2013, this was crazy to me, a report came out that it was data-driven that said, okay, who is the most significant figure in all of time? And the answer was Jesus. And maybe you're thinking like, okay, cool. Was the article done by like JesusFacts.com? Like, real trustworthy. It was Time Magazine that said that this man was the most significant figure in history and maybe the most respected and trusted source right now. ChatGPT ranked him as the number one most influential person in the world. And here's the deal. If the robots are saying it, like, we should probably listen. And here's the simplest way I'm going to say this, and you're going to hear me say it a lot this evening. You might even get annoyed by it. The resurrection changed everything. Amen. The resurrection changed everything. I'm not trying to downplay the cross. Hear that. The cross is so important, but we do not remember the cross without the resurrection. And so the resurrection, it changed everything. Everything. It changed the world. It changed history. It changed geography. It changed our view of medicine. It changed culture. But maybe you're thinking right now, that's really cool, Jacob. Like, that's a great story. And I love that you you talked about some music I'm never going to listen to. You talked about some paintings I'm never going to look like. That's awesome that the resurrection changed those things. Does this matter to me? Like, really cool. I love that the resurrection did all those things, but does somehow this man dying and coming back to life, does that actually matter to me in my daily walk, in my daily life, how I live, my routine, the things that I see, does that actually matter to me? And let me be clear. I'm not just talking to someone who has never met Jesus before. You might have been going to church your entire life. You might know so much about Jesus, but if you don't know how the resurrection matters to you, you're missing out on a world, on a life that can be changed completely. You know, I'm sitting backstage in last service. I was sitting right over there watching the flashlight game at the beginning. And I just realized, like, man, there's so many struggles in this room. And maybe you're thinking right now, okay, I just said I have this struggle and this struggle and this struggle. Can the resurrection change those things? I mean, think about it. Some of you were honest and you admitted that you think Peeps are better than chocolate. That's terrifying. We offer prayer after service. But some of you were honest too and you said, I'm struggling with school. I don't know what year you are in school. Can I be honest? I'm in school still. I hate saying it. I'm 30 and I'm still in college and I hate it. I'm struggling. I'm graduating soon, but it's just every day that I have to do something, I am annoyed, I am frustrated, and I don't like it, and so I'm with you. Maybe you're in middle school or high school or elementary school, and your issue isn't anything you're learning, but it's the people who you go to school with. And they're just not everything you see on TV, or maybe they're exactly everything you see on TV, and you're just struggling because it's just not working, and you are thinking, can the resurrection change that? Maybe you're honest, and you said, it's work for me. I don't know what it looks like for you, but maybe you're thinking, I'm not paid enough, and that's causing some stress that you have no idea. Maybe you feel undervalued, you got passed over for a promotion, maybe you just got fired, maybe you're still jobless and you've been looking and you've been looking and you've been looking and you've even been praying and you're thinking, okay, Lord, aren't you supposed to do something if I pray? Isn't that how this is supposed to work? Can the resurrection change that? Some of you raised for anxiety. I bet if we asked if there was depression, there'd be flashlights. I bet if we asked if there was addictions that you cannot kick, you would put your flashlight in the air. Some of you said that you want to be a better person. Can the resurrection help you be a better person? Maybe it's with a relationship and you're thinking, man, can the resurrection help me in my marriage, in my dating, in my engagement? Can the resurrection help me in my singleness that I don't actually want to be single? Or maybe you're thinking, I do want to be single, but everyone keeps asking me about it and you're frustrated. Can the resurrection help with any of that? Yes. But maybe you're thinking, how? Because here's the thing. We might believe that the resurrection can change the world, but we have to understand that it can change our worlds. And it has the power to alter history and geography, but God has the desire to change you. How? Here's the beautiful thing. By changing life and by changing death. The resurrection, which can change everything, changes life and changes death. Let me explain. Actually, let me let 1 Corinthians explain. In verse 14 of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, here's what the author, Paul, says. He says, if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in this world. And I love this passage. Because it's so real. And what the author Paul is saying is this. If the resurrection didn't happen, then following Jesus is not worth it, church. A life committed to him is, don't do it. If there's no resurrection, don't do it. Go and do whatever you want to do. Get out of here right now. Because all of it is useless. You see it over and over again. He says, if it didn't happen, your faith, useless. Me preaching right now, useless. Us gathering here in this room, useless. It's nonsense. We are all liars. The Bible is false. If there's no resurrection, then we haven't been forgiven of any of our sins. That's bad news. If there's not a resurrection, everyone who followed Jesus and is gone is gone. If they die, there's no hope. If Jesus wasn't resurrected, then there's no hope in this life. And we should be pitied more than any other person on earth. The only reaction you should get when you tell someone, a Christian, if there's no resurrection, should be this: oh, honey, that should be it. Because it's not worth it if there's no resurrection. That takes us to verse 20. In verse 20, it starts with this word. It's super simple. It just says, but. Now, here's the deal. Most times when you hear the word but in a sentence, it's not going to be followed by good news. There's moments where you're dating somebody, you're with someone, and you just have this, you get this text, and they say this to say, hey, we need to talk. That's bad news, by the way, all right? Like, in case you don't know, that's not good news. And so you go, and you're like, okay, let's talk really quick, and they start to tell you all these good things. They're just like, hey, like, you're so nice. You're such a good person. You make me laugh. And then they say this, but... You know what's not gonna follow that sentence? But you're also so attractive, right? Like, you go to your boss and you have this conversation where you're like, man, you're a great team player. Like, we love the work you do. You're doing awesome stuff. But they're not gonna say, but we wanna give you a raise. That just is not gonna happen. Here's the great news for us in this section of scripture. This is a good moment. Because here's what he says in verse 20. He says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And hear me. If the resurrection didn't happen, then following Jesus isn't worth it. But if it did, and Paul says it has, then following Jesus is worth everything. Amen. Everything. And when you do, it will change everything in your life. Paul doesn't even just say it happened. He's trying to say it really happened. He's trying to put some evidence with it. If you notice, he says, in fact, back in verse 5 of this chapter, he gives this list of facts. He says this. He says, he was seen by Peter, talking about Jesus. Jesus was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. And last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. And do you see what he's doing here? He's saying, go ask people. Eyewitness accounts have seen him die and have seen him live, and that changed them. In fact, you look at the life of the 12 it talks about. You know what happened to the 12? 11 of them did not live like happy, awesome, like great lives and then like died peacefully. They were murdered. 11 of them went to their deaths tragically because they would not deny Jesus. And they could not stop sharing. And even at the point of death, they said, we have seen him live and it has changed everything. Why? Because if the resurrection happened, following Jesus is worth everything. And to the 12, and to so many more, it did. They saw it. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. It makes faith worth it. It makes preaching what we're doing right now good, beneficial, worth it. It gives us forgiveness of sins, and it gives us a hope that is worth it because the resurrection changes life. But here's the good news. That's not all. It changes death as well. And I know this, you know this, death can be weird to talk about. In fact, a week ago today, I was sitting in a funeral home. My wife's grandmother passed away, and I'll be honest, it was hard. I mean, I love this woman, like my own grandma. She was amazing. And I'm sitting there during the funeral service, and I can just look at her directly in the casket, and it's just hard. It's just weird. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, like, that's not you. But it's unnatural. And I know it's become a natural way that we've experienced life, but looking at death in the face, it just feels unnatural. It feels weird. It feels cruel. It feels like this finality, this bitter end that we can't control. It just feels like the ultimate loss. And what's really horrible about it is that we all know it's coming. I mean, the Bible talks about it pretty bluntly in verse 22 of this chapter. It says this: just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam. And I hope this isn't a newsflash for you, like you're gonna die. I mean, that's just the truth. You can do as many cold plunges as you want, all right? Like, it's not gonna fix it. So, happy Easter, you die. There's the message, there's the Instagram post. But here's why you're gonna die: because we're human. Bible says it like this: it's because we belong to Adam. Flashback all the way to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. If you don't know the story, there's two people, Adam and Eve, and in a moment of temptation, they let sin enter the world. And here's the thing about sin. Romans 5 tells us this: when sin enters your life, when we sin, the only payment you get back is death. And so because we are human, because we belong to Adam, the wages, what we get paid back is death. But the resurrection changes death. Changes death, the way we experience death. Look at this verse says. It says, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. New life. And the beauty of the resurrection is that it doesn't just change life, but it changes death into life. And let me be clear, this is a life unlike anything we have ever experienced on earth. The life we experience on earth is it's bad, it's hard sometimes, it's bad sometimes. There is decay, and there is pain, and there is sadness, and there is fear, and there is suffering, and we experience that. But this new life we're getting, the Bible is clear, there will not be that. There will not be a body that decays and gets and decomposes. There will not be pain and suffering that we can feel. There will be no tears. And this is a life that we cannot even fathom, because the resurrection changes death into life. What was supposed to be the ultimate loss becomes victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 40, 54. Yeah. This is how it says it. It says, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we hear this. And we're asking this question: can the resurrection change me? Yeah. Absolutely. Because it can change life. And it can change death. It can change everything. It has changed everything. And if you let it, it can change you. So let me just ask you this question as we finish, because here's the deal. I could honestly talk for like 45 more minutes, but none of us want that. And so I'm just gonna ask this question and ask you to answer it to yourself, to think about it, to own it. The resurrection changes everything. Will you let it change you? Will you allow it? Will you believe it to change you? I love the way that Jesus asks this question in a different way. He says it in John 11, 25 to one of his friends. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. This thing we keep talking about, this resurrection that changes everything. He says, that's me. I'm that person. I am the one that changes life and changes death. It's me. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he caps it off with this question: do you believe this? Do you remember the first question I asked you when I walked out here? I said, man, it's Easter. Can you believe it? Let me ask the same question again, but with a whole new context that I just want you to think about. It's the resurrection. Can you believe this? Can you believe in this event that changed everything, in this man who did not stay dead but came back to life, and in doing so, he completely changed life and he completely changed death? Because North said, let me just tell you, when you believe that, everything will change for you. He can change everything. And when you believe it, everything will change for you. You will see it in your life. You will see change in the pain that you experience, whether it be the pain of a relationship, the pain of failure, the pain of disappointment. You can turn it in, the resurrection can turn it into rejoicing, because you know who's with you. No matter what you face, even if it's death, you know that death won't matter because you have a new life. It changes confusion. Maybe you walked in here and your thought was just this: there's gotta be more than this. It's gotta be something different. Like the way I'm living right now, like maybe I'm putting out this front that says everything's good and I'm living life the way I want to, but maybe recently you've had this question in your head that just says, is this really it? There's gotta be something more. It changes confusion into purpose, a life that is bigger than your own. It changes anger, whatever anger you're holding on to about a person or an event or an issue. It can change it into forgiveness, because when you realize how much you've been forgiven, it is easy to forgive. It can change sadness into joy. It can change worry into a peace that passes all understanding. It can change hopelessness into hope, and it can change loss into victory, and ultimately it can change death into life. But the question is, will you believe it? And so Easter is different. I'm gonna ask you to respond in certain ways. Maybe for you, Easter is a victory lap. You know these things. You love the Lord. Easter has changed your life. The resurrection has changed your life, and you know what's happening when you die. Maybe you're part of the Northside family, and you're like, dude, I've got 6 Easter signs in my front yard. I'm ready, right? Like, I'm good to go. Here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. Never, ever forget what is most important. That Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and then he came back to life according to the scriptures. We can never graduate from the gospel, church. And so let that shape you, let that form you. Even in this next song, we're about to sing a song simply called Living Hope. I'm gonna invite you just to stay and sing that song. And maybe if this is your victory lap weekend, I mean, you have permission to get a little wild during this song. Don't make me regret giving you that permission, but you have permission to go a little wild during this song, because it's worth everything. But maybe for you, you don't know that yet. You haven't said you believe that yet. You haven't believed in the resurrection yet. You haven't seen that change. We're gonna invite you to say that you'll believe it this weekend. How we do that, we signify that with baptism. That's what happens over here in this pool. And what we're saying is, you're not just going in the water and coming back up. It's so much more than that. You are signifying that you are dying to self and coming back to life with Christ. It is the example of what we're talking about, that you will have a new life and that you will have a death that will turn into life. And it changes everything. And maybe you've never heard this story of Jesus before, but you're thinking, oh, I need this. This life that is new, I am ready. I want to change everything. Maybe you've been thinking about this for a long time, but every time you're ready to go, an excuse happens. Do not waste one more day without letting the resurrection change everything for you. When it comes to excuses, I got them all. We got swimsuits, we got shirts, we got hair dryers, we got towels. I can attest The water is like 90 degrees. It feels great. Can you believe it? Can you believe that this man, that this event can change your life and your death? Because when you do, it will change everything in your life. Father, we love you. And Lord, honestly, there's just not much that we can say that could ever thank you enough for what you've done. Lord, if we are to truly believe in the resurrection, then everything we do should look differently because what you have done is so incredible. Lord, thank you for this event that changed the world, but thank you for this desire in your heart to change our individual worlds. The fact that you can do both just is a testament to your greatness, so thank you. Jesus, thank you for listening to the will of the Father and for choosing to go to the cross. And Lord, thank you for getting back up. And Spirit, we are asking for you to do the work in this room right now that we know you can do. Spirit, we're asking for open hearts, for open ears, for open minds as we respond well. In Jesus' name, amen. Both sides of this room, if you're ready to make this decision, we have people ready to take you backstage and get baptized, but let's sing together.